All right, we're looking here at Galatians chapter 3, starting at verse 5. He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit worketh miracles among you. Doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful or believing Abraham. Yeah, praise God. Okay, we have been talking about living in the supernatural, and we're in this area now called the Word of the Kingdom. The Word of the Kingdom. Now, when people, when in the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve and put them in the garden represented a type of heaven on earth, or a type of the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. And this atmosphere is what Adam was designed to live in, heaven's atmosphere. Peace, joy, love, so forth and so on. And here he was, and God gave him a prohibition of not eating of a certain tree, and you know what happened. Eve ate of it, and then she gave it to Adam, and he did eat. Eve listened to another voice. Adam was not deceived. One of his jobs was to teach his family. And as a result of that, the whole earth fell, meaning that mankind fell from his place on top unto a place underneath, where he now is struggling for everything he is to get. So now, long story short, Jesus comes, who the Bible calls the last Adam, and Jesus comes and he begins to say something in Mark chapter 1, if you'll go there with me. And verse 14. In Mark chapter 1, verse 14, he said, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent. Re, the prefix, meaning to return to the original. And pent, old English word, having to do with top, or for mankind to return to the top. And for that the kingdom of God is at hand. Now the kingdom of God is this government that contained everything that mankind would need, this kingdom. And so now Jesus was preaching this kingdom and demonstrating the power of this kingdom, which he brought with him. And when he taught in Luke chapter 17, you can put it up there, and verse 20, he taught and said that when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with what? Observation. And neither shall he say, lo here or lo there. Behold, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. So it's an invisible kingdom at this point. I understand in the days ahead, in the millennium, it will be a physical kingdom when the city of God will come down out of heaven and sit up on the earth. But now it is an invisible kingdom, and God put you and I in the earth in that kingdom. And we showed you that over in Colossians. If you look at Colossians and Colossians and chapter 1, and we'll just start reading at verse 12. Giving thanks unto you, unto the Father, which has made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Say, in light.
In light.
Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into what? The kingdom of his dear Son. So we have been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness, and we are now in a new kingdom. And everything we need or desire in this earth will be in that kingdom. It's already in that kingdom. Now, this kingdom, God was teaching how to function in this kingdom. And one of the things about it is that this kingdom functions, we appropriate the things that God has given to us by faith. We have to get them by faith. So in that kingdom is our health care. In that kingdom is our economy, our wealth. In that kingdom is our joy and our peace. In that kingdom is our strength. In that kingdom is our blessing. Everything is coming for us and is in that kingdom. Now, the enemy, of course, does not want us to access these things, as this kingdom is designed to produce everything that you and I would need in this earth. And we began to talk about that last time and talk about the word of the kingdom. Now, I want to show you kind of a little bit about how that kingdom works. Now, without the kingdom of God and the teaching of the kingdom, that you and I then are left with insufficient truth to overcome the enemy. That many times what has happened is we've been taught about the gospel of salvation, but we haven't been taught about the gospel of the kingdom. And salvation will get you saved, but if you don't get your mind renewed, you won't be able to inherit what saved folks supposed to get. And so you see a lot of people in the church, and in church they're saved, but they're broke. Saved, but sick. Saved, but the marriage breaking up. Saved, and so forth. Why? Because something is missing. And I would submit to you that one of the things that's missing is the teaching of the gospel of the kingdom. It's how to live in that reality. See, if you know enough, then Satan is defeated. Because he said, my people are destroyed. Come on, come on. For the lack of knowledge. See, it wasn't money, wasn't positions, wasn't anything. And in this, we've got to learn now how to come into that kingdom, because it says here that we are saints in light. See, that kingdom is a kingdom of darkness. We're in light. This dark system is the Babylonian system. The light system is the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven system. Now, those are two different systems. Now watch this, praise God. In those systems, we have two different ways of speaking. We have two different ways of thinking. We have two different ways of acting and responding. Two different ways. The Bible says in Proverbs, he says, there is a way that seems right. Let's look at that. Proverbs chapter 14, and let's look at verse 12. He said, there is a way now. Now, these two kingdoms, one of them is inferior. The other one is superior. Which one do you think is superior? The kingdom of light. See, it's superior. See, but because we have been trained in a dark system, there is a way that seems right. But let's read it here, verse 12. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof, come on, are the ways of death. Let's look at Matthew's gospel and Matthew chapter 13. Let's look at that. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 13. Let's look at Matthew 13 and verse 10. And the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it is given to you to know the what? Mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them what? It's not given. They don't understand that. You go home and tell your cousin that you are tithing. He said, what is that? I'm giving 10% of my income to the church. What? You follow what I'm saying? Why? Because you're from two different worlds. Glory to God. You're from another world. Don't be trying to run spiritual revelation truth and think somebody who's completely controlled by the devil is going to understand you. See? And Jesus had to correct him. He said, wait a minute, now, I know you got some haters out there, but do good to them that hate you. And I know some of God's people say, what? Say it again. Yep. We got to understand, that's low life. And it seems right. But the end of it is going to be death to you. We've been trained certain ways. And what has happened once we get born again, we got to be retrained. And a lot of this is a mystery to the world. I mean, the world can understand why we say things and why we gather in here on Sundays and why we not out on the golf course and so forth and so on. They can't understand that because it's a mystery to them. But we're in here getting the word of the kingdom. Because the word of the kingdom gives us the ability to operate on a superior level that can cause us to overcome and be triumphant in every situation. And this word of the kingdom is designed to fix anything in this earth that is out of line with the kingdom of God. That the Bible says the seed is the word of God. That's Luke chapter 8, verse 11. And then it says that the seed is incorruptible. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. And then it says, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. So the seed is incorruptible, and the seed is God. Now name me something God can't do. So if you got any kind of situation, if I can just pour a little bit of this word into it, say amen to that. It is designed to bring it from chaos to order. It is designed to take it through a miracle exchange and bring it back in line with heaven's government. This right here. And so you're in here now hearing me preach the word of the kingdom. But I said last week that Satan has set up his world. I want you to put something right here because we're coming back. We're talking about the word of the kingdom. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. See, I made a discovery that words are powerful. The Bible says death and what? Life. Oh, where? It's in the power of the tongue. And the Bible says when you have a wrong thought, I showed you in Proverbs 30, put your hand over your mouth. Why? Because of these words coming out of here. Look what it says here in verse 1. God, who at sundry times, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, and diverse men have spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Now, Charles B. Williams translation says this: Jesus is the lawful owner of everything. I'm a joint heir with him. I don't know about you. See? By whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the what? Word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So he is holding all things by the word of his power. Now, this is what I'm saying. I'm saying that words are what made this planet. Watch this. Words are what's holding this planet. Satan has created another world, darkness, and he's used words to do it. I'm telling you now, this is a revelation. And as long as he can get people with words and say his words, the words of the kingdom of darkness, he can keep his kingdom in place. Words are the very foundation of everything you see. Think about it. If you're going to do a contract, it's got words on it. If it doesn't make any difference. Words, words, words. Words were the original technology. Praise God. And in this, words are the thing. Death and life are in the power of words. It was words which separated the two groups who were to go into Canaan. The people who spoke an evil report didn't go in. The people who spoke a good report went in. What made the difference? Words. And we were studying the life of Jacob and what made his body age like that. It was the words he spoke. And I'm telling you, the words are at the very foundation. The problem is, many of God's people don't believe it. He said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, come on, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe the words that he speaks will come to pass. He shall, and Lord have mercy, you're balking on me. Put it up there on the board. Put up there Mark chapter 11 and verse 23. Won't you see this? I want you learn to master words and your days of suffering, lack, whatever it is, are over. Because words are just that powerful. What words? The words of the kingdom that will uproot anything in your life and in anybody else's life. You got kids and not acting right. You believe in words, speak them over that door. Look what it said. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not what? Doubt where? In his heart. But shall what? Believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Those are words. Those are words. Put up there, please, on Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. Matthew 12 and verse 34. Watch this one. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, keep going, speak? Look at that. We're talking about words here. Speak good things. For out of the abundance, come on, of the heart, keep going, the mouth speaks. Keep going. Next verse. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart, what does he do? Brings forth good things. Where are the good things in your life going to come from? Your heart. How do they get there? By words. Words deposited them there, and once those words come to fruition inside, you speak them out, and they will change the situation in your life. All right. I didn't mean to do all that, but now, here's the deal. So words. So both use them. But this is low life down here. And the enemy tries to use words of darkness to get you to express yourself. He set up a system on it. And people use the words, I'm dying to go. You make me sick. I'm catching a cold. Who in their right mind would run to catch a cold? But watch this. We don't think about it because we've been trained in darkness. But once you see, wait a minute, hey, first of all, a cold has no business coming on me. Now, how did I get that? I got words of light. I had to go over to Psalm 91. Come on over there with me. And I had to rebuild an image on the inside of me. You're going to go through this, whether you want to go through it or not. We're going to go through this. Verse 10, there shall no evil befall me. Come on. Neither shall any plague come nigh me. For he has given his angels charge over me, and they keep me in all my ways. Now, I'm supposed to say that. Let me get back and collect myself here. What the enemy has tried to do is try to get us to speak wrong words to express ourselves. Words of darkness. You cannot alter the kingdom of God to fit your lifestyle. You've got to alter your lifestyle to fit the kingdom of God. Jesus always spoke the words of God. It was the word of the kingdom. And he always spoke them no matter what the situation was. Now let's just go back there real quick. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 13, please. Look what it says here, verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hear the word of the kingdom, underline word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was what? Sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Now, where is this seed going to be sown? In the heart. Now, he's not talking about your blood pump, but he is talking about the spirit of a person, and that the word is sown in their spirit. And out, your spirit is designed to produce everything you need, and it's the ground that the word of the kingdom is deposited in to bring forth first the image, then the reality of what you've just sown. All right, you're going to sit here and you're going to listen to this and you're going to get this. We are where we are because of what we think. That's why I was telling them down there at Manpower. I said, God many times characterizes himself as an eagle or as a lion. Eagle, vision. Lion, attitude, the mind. Because an eagle can see, and he can see a quarter at the length of two football fields. He can see it in the ground. He can see he's got extremely high vision. He can fly very high and see all the way down there. Small objects. So he can see. But a lion has an attitude about it. There's an attitude that you have to have. And that attitude is the same attitude that Jesus had. He's called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Say amen to this. Amen. And this lion is in the jungle, fearless. He's not the tallest one. Giraffe's much bigger. He's not the fastest one. A cheetah is much faster. He's not the biggest one. Hippopotamus and elephants. But he doesn't see an elephant and think elephant. He thinks he's an elephant and thinks dinner. Are you following what I'm saying? It's his attitude. And so he goes around and he roars. But you can almost feel the vibrations of it. Arrgh. Say that one time. Arrgh. See there, can't you feel something? Now he's not the biggest, the fastest, or the tallest, but he thinks he is. And what I'm telling you is you got to see situations and have a certain attitude about who you are. I looked at what kind of attitude you should have in terms of how you see yourself, because this is the way God sees you. Now, I'm talking about you've been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness. You're in the kingdom of light. You're a brand new creature. Here's what God sees you. He sees you unique. There's nobody else that's been gifted with what he gifted you with. When he made you, he broke the mold. Nobody's going to duplicate that child of mine. He sees you gifted. And those gifts are inside of you, whether you do them, whether you go to the grave with them, they are still in there right now. He gifted you and talented you. The Bible didn't say a man's education will make room for him. He said a man's gift will make room for him. You are royalty. You are chosen. You are an heir. You are special. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are delivered. You're rich. You're healthy. You've got the mind of Christ, the same mind that created the universe. You're the head. You're the lender. You're beloved. You're anointed. You're redeemed. You're appointed. You're a child of Almighty God, and you can do all things. Now, that's the way he saw you. Now, every one of those things has to be appropriated by faith. You've got to plant the seed of the Word of God in your heart and watch every one of those things come by. Folks, if you are royalty, there are things that you will not accept. You don't see anybody of royalty hollering out the window, "Hey girl, where my money?" That is just about the lowest. The queen just a wave at you just like that. And listen, they don't fuss with you. You don't see anybody royal getting in an argument, because they're too high. You don't need to argue with your husband, argue with your wife. You're royalty. All of that is taken away from who you think you are. It's trying to destroy the image of the word of his kingdom that is inside of you. I looked up here on a blaming attitude. People who are in the kingdom don't have to blame nobody. I'm telling you, if you believe that you're not responsible for something and blaming somebody else, then your subconscious mind says, "I don't have a problem, so I don't need to do nothing about it." And you never change. What you need to know is, when you say, "I'm not responsible," you stay where you are in that place. You got to understand that, wait a minute, nobody can stop me from reaching my destiny but me. I got something to say about where I go. Other people can't tell me where I can go, what I can do, and what I can have. And until you become responsible for your own life, you don't go any further. So you need to stop blaming your husband, blaming your wife, blaming your cousin, blaming a white man, blaming a black man. You need to stop blaming the government, blaming the president. You need to stop blaming everybody. your destiny, because your destiny is in the hands of Almighty God. Now this is what I'm telling you right now. And you need to stop that. Because it's always somebody. It's the Republicans. It's the Democrats. I'm in another kingdom. I'm in the kingdom of Christocrats. I'm in the kingdom of kingdom citizens. I'm in a place that I can speak things. I'm in a place where if I know who I really am, I can pay off the national debt. I'm telling you, folks, you got to get it all. You need to go in here. Now, let's go to Genesis, in Genesis chapter 15. And we'll be finished. Somebody needed that today. Oh, man, we operating in a blaming society. I know what I just said may go against what you believe, but that's because you need to get rid of what you believe and start believing the Word of God. Now, you can tell me, if you think a racial barrier is what's keeping you from success, you have just been deceived. It couldn't stop me. Hey, because I don't care. You think just because some race don't like you. Your cousin don't like you. You just don't. She just ain't told you yet. Don't let somebody else have control of your destiny. Am I right about it? Now, understand, this is designed to clean you out. Because we've had an image in here that is contrary. Why did the enemy paint that picture? He painted that picture, one, to keep you behind the line. Keep you right in that chicken coop when you're an eagle. And I'm telling you, this is the way God sees you, and He wants you to see yourself that way. You're not broke, you just think you are. God's made you rich beyond your wildest imagination. Now, what do you got to do with that? You just can't take it and take it as it is, because when you take it as it is and don't understand it, then the wicked one comes, and he snatches away that word. You got to take that and meditate it. You got to take that word and meditate. Pastor just said, boom, just write it down. I didn't ask you to meditate the whole Bible. I said, just meditate, just that word. Just take that word right there, and if you start meditating that word, it'll lead you to scriptures. It'll lead you to scriptures. See. Because when you meditate, what you do is plant the seed in the soil. And what the seed does is make a demand on the soil. And the soil connects you up with the one who put the soil in there. And start giving you revelation, and that thing starts growing inside of you. And then once it starts getting bigger, you start talking different. Why? Because you can see different. You can't go any further than you can see. Telling you, I start talking different, and I'm telling you, people, first thing they ask you, who you think you are. Say, it's not who I think I am, who I know I am. This thing got past. Really? I'm telling you, folks, the devil used to tell me I was short. Oh, you can laugh if you want. I don't care if you laugh. Okay. All right. It's you trip with a trip, just going trip. All right, let's look at this. I told you, you got to see yourself the way you see. Come on, say this. Ah! Come on now. Yeah, see, you got to see, that's all the enemy wants. You just focus in on the physical side. And if you just focus in on that and that's where you live, that's all you're going to get. But folks, we are spirit. Say amen to that. Having a natural experience. Thank you, Jesus. All right, now, look at this. Verse chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield," glory to God, "and thy great reward." Exceeding great reward. All right, okay. Now, I looked at this and Abram came from a society that had not served God. They had worshiped moons, you know, horses, cows, dogs, whatever they worshiped. And he now has been called by God, and God is saying, "I'm Almighty God." In other words, you're going to go from all these gods to one God. Now, fear not. I am thy shield. Now, thy shield can be found over there in Psalm 91. And I'm just read it now because I'm pressed for time. In Psalm 91 in verse 4, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler." Let me read it out of the Message, out of the Living Bible. "His huge outstretched arms will protect you. Under them you will be perfectly safe." Let me read it out of another translation, out of the Message Bible translation. "He will shield you," I think one of them, Living, one of them, Message. "He will shield you with his wings, and they will shelter you. His faithful promises are your armor." I think that's what I put down here. But the idea being is that God himself will protect you. Now, when somebody first reads that, they didn't think to go look at that. They just read it. Sounded cute. But he's saying, "I'm your defense." When you come up against something too big for you, don't trip. Come on now. Come on. You got to understand, I'm with you. I'm your shield. Man, how would you like God to stand right by you and tell you, you know, "Don't be concerned, I got you covered." And anything trying to come against you, whether it's physical or spiritual, God just does it. You know, you walk in, I don't care where you walk, it doesn't make any difference. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm saying, once you meditate this and get this down in here, all of a sudden, your seeing God with you is bigger than you seeing the devil coming against you. Lord have mercy. You follow what I'm saying? Watch this. "I am thy exceeding great reward." Now, I had to look up that word reward to see what it said. And the word reward has to do, glory to God, help me, Holy Ghost. It has to do with salary. It has to do with wages. It has to do with compensation. He's telling you, wait a minute, I'm not only your defense, I'm the one that's going to get you paid. That's what this sentence means. And go on down here and verse 3. "And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels of body shall be your heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if you be able to number them. And he said to him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for what? for righteousness. Now, let's just close out with this. Oh, Jesus. What am I just saying? I'm saying that God now is giving Abraham a dream. And it's an impossible dream. This is something that is much bigger than Abraham or Abram had ever really thought or even believed that he could do. Say amen to that. God now is going to lead him into meditation. Biblical meditation is a God-given process that produces a spiritual experience which causes a permanent change in your thinking. I'll say it again. Biblical meditation is a God-given process that produces a spiritual experience which causes a permanent change in our thinking. Every impossible situation can be solved through biblical meditation. Nothing becomes impossible if you know how to believe. Meditation sets new boundaries in your life. What you couldn't believe last week, if you meditate the Word of God, you can believe this week. And as a man thinketh in his heart, what? So is he. That's where you will end up. So when God wanted to transform how somebody believed, he gave them a spiritual experience. In this case, he gave them some stars. He said, come on out here. You trying to talk about having one baby? Come on out here. Look up at the stars. How many you see? Oh, he saw all these stars. They talk about how many stars you could see with one eyesight, and it's, you know, millions, so what, whatever. He said, you're not just going to have one child. This is how many kids you're going to have. And the Bible says Abraham believed God. Believing is a choice. You need to believe and make a choice that you are royalty. You need to believe and make a choice that you are chosen heir of God. And folks, I went into those scriptures to see what we have inherited. We have inherited the whole earth. I said, everything in the earth belongs to us, and we have a right to it. Now, somebody say, well, what do I do? Just go and stick them up and bring it. No, sir. You get your faith together, and God will transfer it to you from the surface down to the core. Everything in it. How do I know that? Because the word of the kingdom said it. I'm not going to argue with God. I'm not going to set my mind to try to, well, how is that going to happen? I have stopped doing that. I'm not doing it anymore. And you and I need to stop thinking small. We need to take the straps off and let God's big vision come to pass in our lives. God is not trying to give you just one little old business right over here in this hair, doing hair in your kitchen. God wants to expand you. Say amen. Come on. And I mean, be so specific about it. If you're not married, you want a man, then you start describing him. You just don't want anybody to show up at your door. Don't just ask for anything. Lord, just send me a man. Well, you gonna get that, and you'll be in my office talking about pastor. No, pastor, nothing. You needed to ask for what you wanted. You trying to be all humble and all religious. Well, pray the Lord. Praise the Lord. He saved, but he acting. So you need to get the man you want. Yes, this is what I want. I want him this high, this big, this rich, this. Come on. I know you laughing, but I'm telling you the truth. It's the word of the kingdom. So what am I saying? You let a man alter his thoughts, and he will be astonished at the right and the rapid transformation of the material conditions in his or her life. Just alter your thoughts. And I'm telling you, this is what we're going to do. Next time we'll go into it and give you how to make that meditation and see something you couldn't see before and do something you never thought you could do. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we have for this time. Man, that was... Now, let me just say this. You want to create a new comfort zone. Now, why do I say that? This is what you want to do. You want to create a new comfort zone. You moving from one level to another is not supposed to be a struggle. It's supposed to be a joy. Because what happens when you create a new image inside of something on another level, then you can't stay at your level anymore. You'll be able to see opportunities on another level. And you got to understand that people around you who feed off the level that you're at, they won't quite understand why you're talking like you're talking. But you're going to have to speak the word of the kingdom. And it's going to come right out of you. And I'm telling you, folks, God wants us to increase. Say increase. Increase. He wants us to increase more and more. Start speaking different words over your marriage. Start speaking different. Come on now. Start speaking different words over your job. Start speaking different words over your life and where you're going in life. Who was that? Charles Capps talking about that man. Didn't he said he started. He got a hold of this principle and said, hey. He said, thank God I've doubled my salary this year. And he starts saying it, and his wife, you know, kind of wondered, why are you saying that? He said, because I'm doubling my salary this year. Well, pretty soon, he got a pink slip from his job. The job said they were cutting back and laying him off. He got laid off, but he kept saying, thank God I've doubled my salary. Say amen to this. And the next thing you know, he said he got laid off, and then he had a thought that he'd go around to this coffee shop. So he went to this coffee shop, and once he got there, the man said, which booth we decide? We have one by the door here, and we have one way over here in the corner. He said, well, I'll just sit with this one. Now, understand, when you start confessing that, your subconscious mind connects up with the wisdom of God. And it begins to lead you to or produce for you or create for you everything that you have need of to fulfill the promise that he promised you. And next thing you know, he's sat by the door. Here comes a guy in that he hadn't seen in a few years. He said, Joe, how you doing? He said, yeah, good. He said, listen, you've been on my mind. You've been on my mind. He said, you know, we need another foreman at the plant where we are. And you've been on my mind. He said, let me ask you, is there any way you could consider coming over there? He said, are you leaving where you're at? He said, no. He said, well, I could. He said, and ended up getting that job that was double his salary. But notice, when you start thinking certain thoughts, because you are who you are that I just read, the universe starts to realign. Everything starts to move to satisfy the desire of one of God's children. Say amen to that. Give God praise. All right, before you leave.